Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Pro Wrestling Torch live cast, prime time, Friday edition. It's Friday, December 30th, 2016. I'm Travis Bryant. I've got the helm today. Bruce is at CWF Mid-Atlantic show. Big show for them. Culmination show, I think, if I heard right. So, some big things are going down in... I don't think Greensboro, but somewhere in North Carolina. Again, I'm Travis Bryant, hosting, co-hosting with me today is my main man, who joins me on the East Coast Cast VIP portion of the East Coast Cast, my man Richard Fan, not the cat, but Rich, what's going on?
Not much. I thought I got replaced by the cat. That would have been pretty funny.
Yeah, she'd love that. Get out of here. Yeah, what a jerk. She sees I'm on the phone, and I got the laptop and the headset and the whole deal, and she doesn't care. So, yeah, we've got a decent amount of topics.
Yeah, it was a good year. It's going to be fun to talk about all the fun things that happened this week. Hopefully Bruce will be able to hang out with Papa Hales. I pointed him in Bruce's direction. He's
and
actually really
He's going to be at that show tonight. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Pop. Yeah, he's a really cool dude. I read his article today while I was cleaning about how he's going to all these indie wrestling shows and any wrestling show in general because he had a heart condition and his eyes have been failing him. So he's literally trying to take everything in before he can't anymore. And he was also a school teacher, so I figure those two guys need to meet, because that's awesome.
Cool. You get a message on Twitter from Jason in Australia, who I think he's ducking you, Rich, because he...
I misread it when I first saw it, and I was going to be very excited that I got to hear from Jason. Usually when I do these... My backup duties, I get to chat with them for a little bit, but it's okay. Happy New Year, Jason. I hope your 2017 is awesome, and we get to hang out with you at some point, preferably in person.
He's talking because me, fan.
Or, I should say, whatever. I don't know his last name, Jason. But anyway, I mean, this is the last, I don't know what's happening actually tomorrow with the Saturday morning show, I assume there's going to be some kind of content, but I can't be too sure. So this might be the last live cast here of the year, or at least the last like traditional one. I mean, Saturdays are pretty special. It's not your run-of-the-mill live cast. But all right. Got some more action on Twitter, hey, everybody. So, Rich, do you have a headline for the week, for the year, however you want to play it? Do you have what ends your week, your wrestling week, the number one topic?
I would say, especially because I spent most of my day listening to podcasts while I did work around the house or driving to send packages out to family, I think one of the biggest headlines for me, both for the week and for the year, is the role of technology in pro wrestling and how that's going to affect things going forward. Obviously, the big things are Flow Sports and the network and Progress, RPW, et cetera, but also just Twitter. And the closeness that wrestlers have had now with fans as Al Snow mentioned on his interview with Wade, or even with the spats, with things like, and I'm sure we'll mention this at some point today, the what we talked about a little bit before we did the East Coast cast, how the Revival got upset about not being given the props they deserve and used Twitter and Instagram as the means to call out reporters and fans prior to them, you know, blowing up this year. So, yeah, I think technology on the whole has been a very interesting thing for professional wrestling.
Yeah, this year, is, I wouldn't say especially, but kind of. It's the network is, like, really, really just rolling along, like, as much as you can, like, 3 years in. You know, they're just kind of got a groove, and they've got, you know, 1.5 to 1.8, or what did I say to Kylan the other day, 1.3 to 1.8 million subscribers at any given time, probably. So money coming in, and they're, yeah, they have their, it seems like they have a hold on how to run an over-the-top network, at least in for the platform and things that they, I guess, pioneered in a lot of ways. I mean, it's not like they were the first. I mean, Netflix and all those set the tone and set the kind of standard, but you know, WWE Network, obviously, just being a standalone network like it is special in its own thing. But this year, kind of, yeah, not a lot of problems with it as far as glitches and stoppages, that at least on my end, personally and anecdotally. But also, I don't read things about the network failing on with people as it did in the first year, especially. So, yeah, and then, yeah, like you said, Flow Slam. I haven't checked it out, but it seems to be, for what it is, or for what, you know, for what that fan that it's going for wants, it's really good. It's always adding stuff, so it has a lot of room to grow. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. I signed up today as a free member. I haven't committed to paying for it yet because, to be honest, I pay about like $25 a month now, and I get the wrestling I want between New Japan, Progress, and the network, and then my subscriptions to, you know, the Torch, etc. So
right.
I don't know if I want to push either another $20 into the budget or just drop $150 after Christmas to say I have this product for a year when I don't know if it's going to. It's not that I don't feel like it's not going to be around, but one of my biggest questions is, who's the face of it now that Jeremy Botter left and kind of mentioned all these weird, like, half explanations of, you know, I should have watched my back, like, pro wrestling. And so right now it's really weird. So I'm kind of waiting to make sure things get ironed out and the kinks get taken care of a little bit more before I fully commit. And to your point with the network, we mentioned, like, the third hour of Raw and television revenue, all that fun stuff. I think technology also sticks out to me because the president of New Japan even mentioned that he sees in the next 3 to 5 years television the way we know it falling away, and that revenue stream falling away from WWE, which would make them more of a direct competitor with purely online versus purely online content, which was very interesting for me, one, for him to say that in public, and two, to be so adamant about it.
I mean, my instinct is to kind of recoil a bit at the time frame, like 2 to 3 years. Like, okay, like everybody agrees with, like, what he's saying isn't wrong, but it's like, ugh, most people would, you know, like, okay, 5 to 8, 8 to 10, sure. But he might be right. Like, when you just see, like, the ratings and the fact that, you know, Raw's getting, you know, steady 2.5 million people, but that's you know, threatened now. Just slowly but surely, their numbers on cable are dropping, and their numbers online, and what they can't capitalize on in a revenue and in a commercial sense, literal and figurative commercials, are growing. Those online numbers and hits on certain segments and people watching Raw segments, that's probably hundreds of thousands of viewers. You know, hundreds of thousands of people are watching those individual videos, probably. I'm guessing, and I think that's a very safe guess. So, man, 2 to 3 years. Sheesh. I mean, I'm on, you know, I cut the cord. This is the second time I've cut the cord in 5 years. Cut the cord for 2 years from, like, 2013 to 20, or whatever, a year or so. And now here I am again, no cable. But this time, you know, Sling TV, which is awesome. And when that gets even more refined, like, I'm like, I don't need all these channels. Like, that's the problem. Like, Sling, they still make you, it's cheaper, you know, it's way cheaper, but they still make you have all these dumbass channels. Like, man, if I could just get rid of these channels, I'd, you know, they got a better deal. You know, hintity hint hint. Come on. So when things truly go a la carte, a lot of places are going to go away. A lot of networks are going to go away. Like, I don't know if, maybe because of the high-end revenue ad stream, but, like, you know, Golf Network, Tennis Network, that'll stay around, but will, like, you know, other just random, like, will the third-tier food network, like, be around? Like, Food Channel will be around, and, like, the old-fashioned cooking, you know, that some things are just staples and aren't going to, they're brands and all that that aren't going anywhere, but, you know.
Well, look at a channel like Pop TV. Is that going to stay around? Do you really need a channel that only plays rehashed TV shows and horrible canceled shows like Schitt's Creek or things like that, you know?
Well, I heard that's a really good show, but...
But they, would you have an avenue by which someone would want to risk putting your entire network on it?
I'm just saying, you just said it was an awful show. I just have only heard good things about that show. The only bad thing is it's on Pop TV.
Right. But that's what
and
I'm
not
saying.
Hulu.
If you wouldn't have a channel like that where you could take a risk, even if it's a good show. Like, I've been watching Always Sunny on a little bit of a binge today, too, and... You know, you had FX who took the risk of this is a pretty crazy show.
Right.
But if you know, if Fox knows they're only going to get so much revenue, they might have their award-winning comedies and then say, maybe this risky one, do we really need to spend the money for it?
Well, yeah, that's what people are, there's going to be... All right, we're getting off on a...
We're turning into Entertainment Coast Cast. This is... We got to bring
it yeah, on the thing here. But, yeah, I guess we could delve into that some other time. But to kind of bring it back around, yeah, the network and technology. And, yeah, no, good kind of overall take on the year. I think, technology is a big... I mean, and going forward, we'll be bigger. I mean, this is something people, you could have said forever, but for sure in the last, you know, 5-8 years. Like, you just know.
Yeah.
You just know. And it was being talked about. It was being reported. Like, this isn't going to be, you know, the internet's a thing, and more people are getting broadband, and it's cheaper, and yeah. You know, so. It's a matter of time. Is in that 2-3 years, you know, when that deal's up that they're currently on, does Raw and SmackDown become network exclusive shows, or USA like, we're okay with your 1.5, you know, like we can put an NCIS rerun there. In that 3-hour block, we can put three, you know, NCSI, NCSI New Orleans, NCSI Underground or whatever.
Underground Cyber. It's horrible
yeah,
that I know that, but I'm really
the one with
disposition
Bow Wow?
Of a 68-year-old when it comes to TV shows.
The one with Bow Wow? Cyber?
Yes.
Wow. So, yeah. Technology. Let's pause for a break and just before we get things started with the phone calls. Pay a bill or two.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
All right, let's start things off over in the West Coast and talk to Brian in Phoenix. 25-year Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter subscriber, VIP, awesome guy overall, Brian from Phoenix. What's happening?
Hey, good evening, Trav, and good evening, Rich. Hopefully yourselves and everybody as far as the PW Torch listeners have a very happy new year.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Brian. And I think you're a 26-year now, aren't you?
It'll be in February, Rich,
okay.
When I cross the 26-year. So closer than that. So a couple things, and I'll keep them, of course, brief and try to keep them pithy as well and keep them on topic. So, Travis, as I'm sitting at home here looking at my computer, I'm on a PW Torch. Actually, I'm on the VIP side, but it should be on the regular side as well. I'm looking at the column that you had, Trav, where it's called Scantily Clad or Combat Ready. And I want to let you know I really like the column.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, appreciate that. I was a little worried about that old sophomore slump. So, I was hoping folks enjoyed it. And Bruce enjoyed it, even though I called him out in it. So, yeah.
And you did. And one thing that I was trying to look up, I was on Google Pictures and Google Images. And I was trying to find this one picture where it was taken maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, where it had all the divas at that point. They had them in a kind of Hollywood Squares, a tic tac toe. It's like 9 pictures of divas, and they all and like full body length, but they all were basically all dressed the same, with the exception really I think it was really Naomi and of course Natalya Voice been wearing pretty much the same thing where all the other divas had a small top on, pretty long leg boots things, and open midriff, and out of the 9 of them, 7 of them dressed pretty much exactly the same way, with the only exception of Naomi. I was wearing something a little bit different back then, and Natalya was she's always wore that full bodysuit.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I wish I could find it. I couldn't find the picture, but it was 4 or 5 years ago, and I remember somebody putting it up on Twitter or Facebook. We all talked about it. But my question for this week for you and Rich Trapp is that sticking with women, and I'm not a UFC guy or an MMA guy, and I think I might only watch one card probably halfway through, and no CM Punk or Brock Lesnar, but Ronda Rousey is still scheduled to fight tonight. By the way, she has some pictures up about how she looked 5 months ago versus how she looks today, and she's really, really looking good or really looking fit. But
yeah,
my question for you two, my question to you two is that, I want to give your percentage if she wins or if she loses, what the percentage would be that she still does something or participates in WrestleMania this year. So 50% if she wins, she will participate, or 20% if she loses, she will participate. So what is your what's your feelings about her still working with WWE and WrestleMania, depending on how the fight goes?
I'm going to say win, lose, or draw, it's less than 25%, 20% even. At this point, I just think, I'm only basing this obviously on me. Just things have changed a little bit. All right, maybe I should worry about my next fight and not WrestleMania and doing this silly thing. I should, that's all. that's all the thing I'm basing it on, is just maybe things have changed. And if she wins her fight, whew, all right. And let's not now focus on something that's not important as far as, her career goes and her fighting career goes. And if she loses, I just don't think she's going to have time or want to be. I mean, we saw how she handled it the first time. So I think if she loses, there's even less chance she does something in WrestleMania. Probably zero.
Yeah.
Rich?
I would say, I'm trying to think about the number in my head as you're talking. One of the biggest things I would take away from this, Brian, I would probably say 55%. And the reason I say that is she, in following Ronda Rousey's career, she failed at life when she got a bronze medal in judo. So to lose in the UFC, she's taken it a lot harder than most people normally take a loss, to the point where she did no media for this fight. She just showed up, did the weigh-in, smiled for like a millisecond and left. So I'm of the mindset of she probably is going to want to win this and just go out knowing I won and I don't have to deal with this anymore, because that failure is going to eat at her more than the win she could get. So I think
go out and that's her last fight.
I think so, because she did things. If you look at, and you know, Wade can cover this more in depth, of the people at MMA Torch, or even Tom Martin. She is doing things right now leading up to this fight that they suspended the 200 fight with Conor McGregor over, as far as not doing press conferences, not being able to do any media tours, not doing any of the little, you know, photo op type things you would do traditionally before a fight, or even the pre-fight, you know, the face-to-face kind of like shoving match, press conference,
yeah,
weigh-in shenanigans. She wanted no part in any of that stuff. And Dana White said this is a one-time deal, and I don't know if the new owners realize this might not be a one-time deal in terms of her mindset of, I'm probably not going to fight again. And, you know, this is me, pure speculation on my part, but I just think,
sure,
the competitor she is, she's not having fun anymore. She just, it's a job, and for someone who's now turned it into a job instead of the thing that made her a superstar, it's kind of a, going to the WWE would be a rest.
But if you can do that, I mean, I'm not a high, I'm not even a low quality athlete, but still, I just can't.
Well, that's
imagine.
My thing. Like, I look at it and I'm like, you're the third best person in the world, but if you read the report,
it doesn't
when she
say
won
fun
that,
to every single hundreds of athletes that, you know, speaking just purely American terms, you know, the thousands of or so athletes that they're, you know, professional athletes that they are at any given one time, one moment in time, you know, it's not fun to a lot of them. There's a lot of 8-year vets in whatever league they're in that's like, you know, goddamn two-a-days or whatever it is that they got to do to prepare and, you know, having that kind of attitude. Like, it's not fun. Like, man, training camp used to be fun. You used to come here, get to know everybody. Screw these kids. And they don't appreciate nothing and they're smart mouths and blah, blah, blah. That's just anything. I'm just talking like I've never got to do something, you know, at least extended that I just absolutely loved and never became a job. It just all becomes a job, no matter how seemingly great it is.
Yeah, but, I mean, even when she lost, she blamed a lot of the stuff in her interview. She mentioned the loss, like, I did too much media, and she did less media. Dave Meltzer did a good job, and I believe Tom Martin even mentioned it. She did less media that before that loss than she had any other fight, but she still was like, I did too much media. So it's like, what if you take her out of that world and you put her in wrestling, I think she would be a better fit. Now, Wade's made great points as far as, is that overkill at WrestleMania? So that's the only reason I have pause, and I wouldn't go higher than, say, 55%. Because if you're going to have The Rock, you're going to have Undertaker, you're going to have Cena, you're going to have Shaq, do you really need Ronda Rousey? Or is that kind of a little bit too much for one WrestleMania as far as blowing your celebrity card?
I don't even follow the inside or whatever, like knowing what's going on with her and that she didn't even do all the media and all that stuff. So I guess I have even less, you know, but still. So, cool, Brian. Anything else?
No, that's it. I'll let some other callers have their say and have their questions and you answer them. Again, hopefully everybody has a happy new year. And thanks a lot, as always, Trav. Appreciate it. And Rich, appreciate you as well. And talk to you both later.
Thanks, man.
Always a pleasure, man.
Brian from Phoenix. Probably the nicest guy in pro wrestling fandom.
Yeah, he's a gem.
I was just looking at the difference in likes he got and mentioned in comments and the specific threads. his his Christmas tie versus his Kwanzaa tie, or themed ties. Mm-hmm. Oh, where's all the joy and merriment? sorry, Brian. Keep it professional. It's not Wednesday.
yeah, come on, man. We got it. Come on.
All right. It's, you know what? Who's that from New Jersey? Let's see who's the 609. 609, who's this? Where are you from?
This is Louis from New Jersey.
Louis from New Jersey?
Yeah, Louis, whatever. I go by both. That's fine.
Louis, I have the task.
This is Friday, Travis. We got to focus.
Right. That barely plays on Wednesday. But what's happening, Louis from New Jersey? What's going on? What's on your mind?
All right. Well, no, I just got, three really quick, super quick topics. Basically, I just want to get, your opinion as far as Bayley, as far as her being on the exact same show as Sasha Banks. When I first saw her coming to Raw, I had it in my mind that, she was going to go to SmackDown and pretty much run the division. So, first I just want to get your opinion on that. And then I just want to find out, what's your opinion on Finn Balor and, where he's going to fit when he comes back. And last but not least, what is your opinion as far as Seth Rollins kind of just, floating around out there, in my personal opinion, and not really even having a gimmick anymore? It's kind of like, I feel like, he's just kind of been stripped of everything. So, it's hard to root behind the guy just because he's kind of just like floating out there like a chicken, with his head cut off. So, but again, that's just my opinion. So that's all. You can mute me now.
Yeah, appreciate it. Bayley, Balor, Rollins. He describes Rollins as a chicken with the head cut off. I mean, at least that's interesting to look at. Like, you're like, oh, look at that. Wow, look at the blood. Oh, he ran into the wall or whatever. It's like interesting in a very morbid way, but interesting to watch. Until the promo, and it was just muddled with, was it that promo? I don't know. It was just, yeah, he's just not very interesting to watch. I should just keep it at that. Rich, thoughts on
Rollins? Yeah, I mean, it's just someone going up to you, and you Wade mentioned that earlier when he was talking to Al Snow, like, who is this guy? It's like you walk up to Seth Rollins right now, and he would just say for a half hour over and over, I'm Seth freaking Rollins. It's like, but what does that mean? What's your motivation? I'm Seth freaking Rollins. It's like, and a lot of that goes to the issue of Monday. Like, a lot of the stuff I see on Monday falls under the fact that Vince sees people different than we as fans see people. So, people complained about Sasha and Charlotte with the finish of the match they had. And it made sense when you think to Vince that Sasha is really, she has a weak back, she's a tiny girl, of course she's going to tap. With Seth, when he came back from his injury, everyone's saying, make him a face, make him a face. But Roman was a face. Why would you put someone...
They produced a documentary making him a baby face. I mean,
right.
It was nothing...
But it was like, no, Roman's
...illish about that 24 thing they did.
Right. Like, the dude's fighting to get to WrestleMania.
No, he had something
to
do with
the record.
I'm just saying, he's not, totally, in the dark about the stuff that's going on his network and that he's producing.
But that goes on with, what Wade mentioned with the Talking Smack versus SmackDown versus Total Divas stuff with
right,
Dean Ambrose.
And three different,
The universes are all there, but there isn't a WWE universe. Like, we're reading, we read a bunch of comics and we talk about them on the East Coast cast. There isn't that one prevalent dogma, or they don't have a writer's meeting every 6 to 8 months where they sit down and plot out where everything is going.
6 to 8 months? Shouldn't you be doing that every 2 to 3 months?
Well, probably they'd have a year, and say, here's where things are going. I mean, and this is a lot of inside baseball, but I'm going to bring it back to wrestling. Like, we just read Civil War. during when they wrote Civil War, they had every writer from Marvel sit in a hotel room, or a conference room rather, and they said, this is what we're doing, who's going to die, who's going to do this, where are we going after this? And they hashed it out with every single writer and how it's going to affect their individual issues leading up to the event and after the event. With WWE, you need an ombudsman, you need a poobah, you need someone who's going to be the creative lead that can say, this is what we're doing. And obviously with sports or simulated sports, you're going to have injuries, suspensions, life happen. But at least if you have that guiding line, you could figure out, hey, maybe we shouldn't have Seth Rollins do this video right now, and maybe we save this for when he does become face and we show how hard he worked.
Well, that doesn't make sense because people in this 2016, in the 2016 context, in that, well, number one, just fans are just, you're going against the grain. You just should, I'm about to say this whole dissertation just to say there should have been no thought on bringing him back as a heel to begin with. Like, they're
right,
going to cheer him.
There
the crowd is
Roman.
Going to... Oh, yeah, no, I know. I mean, it's a whole... Yeah.
It's a mess. And that kind of leads into that. And it's the same thing with Bayley. Bayley is a sympathetic character that was built primarily in NXT on being bullied and then standing up to those bullies. And then you bring her up
and
here,
just,
and one
and
of the first
things
you
do... And even when she wasn't being bullied, it was... Nobody expected
like
her to... To win,
like calling people
overcame.
Myth or a myth, asking for a hug. But then you bring her to the main roster, and she's jumping SmackDown people before their match.
Right.
She should, you know,
but
even
now
if
she's
you take the
bears
step
and
back,
she's cute and cutting, you know, cuddly again.
Right.
And she wants hugs.
But then,
she
and then she's used as a vehicle by
dust.
Which you take a shot at the Rhodes family. It's like, you guys, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, no. Bayley was my. I mean, a year ago this time it was, just the anticipation. Like, oh, I can't wait. There's no way they can't screw this up. I mean, she's just homemade. Like for them, like it's what they're good at. She's right in their wheelhouse.
Right.
You know, like
and
they
I
know
mean,
how
I think
to.
The Bayley Bears are going to sell, but I don't think. Until they get an idea of who she is without sacrificing
him. Yeah, maybe I'm probably overselling the fact that the wheelhouse stuff. It's, yeah, the marketability maybe is in their wheelhouse, but then thinking they don't, like John Cena isn't a Bayley type, he's a babyface and all that and strong and all, and but he's confident and strong and he's going to win. Bayley, it's not, her appeal is the opposite. Like, she's
right.
Strong, and she doesn't know she's going to win until, you show her, no, we believe in you can win, you can do it. And she, oh, yeah, I can, and, whatever.
Well, it's funny. It's similar to what's going on with SmackDown with Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin is doing what Roman Reigns should be doing on Raw if he ever went heel or if he ever had that confidence to kind of push back against the crowd. Your girl, Becky Lynch, is doing what, really, some of the stuff that Bayley should be doing, as far as like, hey, I stand for these things. Don't you guys think it sucks when you have Sasha Banks getting cheated in her matches? Don't you think it stinks when I have to deal with Dana Brooke every time? Why is this something that everyone thinks is okay?
Yeah, again, going back, if you'd asked me a year ago, this time about I guess you'd have to say the rosters would be split. So the rosters are going to be split, and Becky Lynch is going to be on one show, and Bayley's going to be on the other. Who's your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
And who's the top female babyface? Arguably the top babyface, just period, across genders. Like, I'd have said Bayley, like, without hesitation. Like, what kind of question is that? Future me, you idiot. What do you know that I don't? Oh. Like, yeah, they did somehow, like, manage to portray her, Bayley, that is, in just enough pull and shit, strong winds, and then you treat her like crap. It's just weird. It's like they just didn't get the character. They just didn't get it, and it was pre-made. The instructions were right there, right on the side of the box. Just pull the thing out, put it in the oven for the predetermined thing, set your damn, you know, I can just say hey to my phone and go set the damn alarm for 15 minutes from now, and it does it. Like, set the alarm, ding. Now, it's so...
You even mentioned, I remember you mentioned a few months ago, one of the biggest things they could have done was pay to even fly up Izzy for the big shows, just to introduce, this is her number one fan, this is why she's so close with the kids
the type
and the
of
little
fan
girls.
That, like, look, other people that are watching this, even boys, I mean, I can't imagine being, like, 8 and seeing Izzy. I wouldn't be like, oh, that can't be me, because that's a girl. I'm like, oh, snap! I like Bailey too, or you know, Bailey
right.
likes kids. I'm a kid. I'm 8. She probably likes me. She'd probably hug me if I was in the front row. Wow, yay, Izzy's awesome. And you know, so that would appeal. You know, so it does cross over. But yeah, fine. Izzy
or even to the basic. This is where it goes back to having that person. They could have had Bailey doing all the be a star visiting schools and cover her instead of Big Show or Mark Henry. No offense to those guys, but this is a girl. Hey,
well,
I got bullied. It's okay.
Well, to be fair, she was still basically buried in, not buried in the sense of, but just like obscure in NXT. Just,
yeah.
You know, whatever she was not even the NXT phenomenon that she became. Like when they really
right.
like started that. But why they didn't then go, oh, yeah, look, let's then go and use her for this? I don't, yeah.
Well,
that could have been
I'm
a way to introduce
like,
her to the main roster audience.
I'm looking at it like this, Travis. It doesn't have to be, because this is a company, like the whole thing with pro wrestling is based on them telling us what the story is. You could have Big Show and Mark Henry be the main event of, so to speak, the high school presentation. But if Bailey did a talk beforehand, you only need to show the footage of her.
Yeah,
you announce it.
Yeah, 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 no, you're totally right. You can do whatever you want. It's just a matter of what you edit and how you present it on Raw is what we care about.
I hate to say it's fake news. It's like, oh, look at Bailey talking to 300 students again, telling them about the dangers of bullying. It's like, well, they were here to see John Cena, but we're only going to show Bailey because Bailey needs to get the head or the tailwind.
And it fits the best, like as far as
right.
like you know, it's better than showing a smiling Mark Henry doing, you know, especially when he's heel on TV doing.
Right, or smiling
stuff.
Lana and Rusev. You know, it's so many things.
Del Rio was in them back in those, you know, early ones. Yeah, you know, stupid.
And then Finn Balor
so anyway.
Was the second.
Oh, well, what about Balor, yeah.
I think Balor, he's going to probably have to fit in as a face. I'm assuming they're going to keep him as a face.
I hope so. I am not interested in any time seeing a heel Balor anytime soon. Personally,
yeah, it's not. Here's the thing that's going to stink, though. We're looking at it in the prism of what we want to see the Vince. If you already have Roman and Seth as faces, and most likely Jericho, whenever him and Kevin Owens break up officially, he might be more inclined to have him come back and eventually turn heel.
Wait, say that again?
I'm just doing a count in my head. You have Seth, Roman, most likely Jericho, I'm assuming between Jericho and Owens whenever they break up. So that's a pretty heavy stack face side for the singles. And then you'd have, on the other side, Triple H for a little while. Kevin Owens, Rusev. So I would see them pushing maybe Balor to the heel side eventually, or making him a face as long as Jericho's there, and then as soon as Jericho leaves, doing a swap. But I would agree with you. I would rather see him in the face. Despite all my love for him and Bullet Club, it doesn't make sense. You have the paint. You have the people knew he was the champ that left with injury. Don't repeat the Seth Rollins situation.
Yeah. All right, let's pause for a second here and take another young break ski. If you're on hold and you want to get officially in queue, in line to talk to us, to Rich and myself, make sure you press 1. Even if you're calling on Skype, you want to bring up your keypad and press 1, and that'll let us know. That'll raise your hand and let us know that you want to talk. So we'll be back in a minute and a half or so.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
All righty, and we're back. We bike. Rich. Oh, bring Rich back on. So we did have an email or two.
Excellent.
Yes, we did. So, and real quick, who was that on Twitter? Craig. It's my first time on the live cast as a VIP caller, and also first time hearing Trav live. So, yeah, Craig, I don't know where you are on the queue that you
make sure you push
Skype.
1, Craig.
Yeah. But let's take an email. Email from Brian. From Brian Hamilton. Are they pulling the plug on the Wyatt family too soon? They are more over with the crowd than American Alpha on SmackDown, and that crowd seemed to be let down with the Alpha win. Two-part question.
Okay. I don't think they're going to be pulling the plug on the Wyatt. I think they might be setting it up for either Randy helping kick out Luke Harper, or him and Luke having their issues before they, you know, as they always would do with some things, tease a breakup and then make them stronger for a little while. But the American Alpha win did come out of the blue on Tuesday. I was definitely not expecting that. And as I mentioned to, I think, Cam, it's similar to how Vince always mentions, I can turn and act around with one win. So it fits what he would do, in my opinion.
I'm sorry. I just watched Hamburger Helper get turned in the kitchen. He been in the kitchen.
Oh yeah, I put the video up. Yeah, I've been.
No.
They put out a mixtape. They put out an entire Hamburger Helper mixtape, and then they did a live party with a dude rapping.
Wait,
yeah, I got
who produced it?
Several rappers. I will. Let's handle this. And I'll,
no,
I'll
I'm going to stop right now and get this mixtape.
Wade's going to
call
send it, you.
Call about some, I don't know. They just press a couple random on buttons and let, I don't know, Boris and a bunch of other folks just have at it.
Yeah, it's called Watch the Stove.
I've been in the kitchen. Just called what?
Yeah, it's called Watch the Stove. Here. Oh, shoot. That's not the right one. Let me, you can download it for free. I'm going to give you the SoundCloud. Because, yeah, I played. I'm going to turn, make sure I'm on mute because I don't need that blasting.
I do.
See, I knew it.
How is this?
Flipping it, flipping it, flipping. I'm stirring.
I need this in my life in a large way.
I wound up, when I ran my half marathon, I wound up listening to like the last part, run into that. It was awesome. I've been
okay. Back on track. I don't think they're pulling the plug on the Wyatt family. I'm not sure where, just because they took the titles off. I didn't really expect them to necessarily get the titles. So I mean, I do think they took them off of them blue early. Like, well, once they had them, like, okay, where are they going with this? But sometimes you need a little jolt, you know, a little shot. And who's to say they won't win them back tomorrow night or, you know, next week?
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. Or at the Rumble, if it becomes, you know, like, oh, okay, no, we'll hold off. You get your rematch at the Rumble. And then they have 3 weeks to have Randy and Luke bicker, if that's what they're going to do.
And have, you know, Wade, have Bray as the dad that's telling them to calm down.
Yeah.
Brian,
he said the crowd seemed to be let down by the Alpha win. I don't know. I didn't see it that way. I didn't see a big giant pop like they were, like it was some culmination. That was the issue I had with it. Like, all right, I mean, I wish this was something people anticipated and were, like, really excited for, and they were a hot act going into the win. But they won, and, you know, I've been saying they need to do something with these guys, and, you know, for 6 months now since it split.
I think they're gonna. I think they're gonna be together, but I think it's just gonna be the rocky road because they got about what 8 weeks, 9 weeks to go between the Rumble and
now in Mania or Rumble and Mania.
No, now Rumble and then Elimination Chamber.
Oh damn!
Because they have so much they have to get done. I would hate to think they're gonna kind of have this go blow off on a random SmackDown instead of, say, culminating at the Elimination Chamber and setting the stage for a fight at WrestleMania. Otherwise, what are you going to be doing on SmackDown the next 8 weeks, 9 weeks?
Yeah. Good point. Second question, should the loser of the AJ Cena and Reigns Owens enter the Rumble? Assuming the Rumble ends the show like it usually does. Should other singles match participants from the card also enter? Yeah, I have no problem with that.
I would say yes.
Especially if they're selling, you know, like, you know, that they were in a match, you know, earlier in the show.
The only reason I would say yes is if it's the champion has retained. If it's the champion has lost the title, they're going to have a rematch anyway.
Wait, say it again?
If AJ Styles loses, he gets a rematch anyway, so why would he want to enter the Rumble?
Oh, right. You would think, oh, February I get a show, or at least on SmackDown sometime I would get a rematch.
Now, if it's the other way around, Cena gets screwed out of the title, and then he enters the Rumble. It's like, now you can't escape me again.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. But, again, you have the Elimination Chamber, which kind of destroys the whole idea of the Rumble, because it's like, okay,
well,
on the SmackDown
not in the
side...
split thing, because it's only one show has that, so that might even be a giveaway. Like who has the
SmackDown specific pay per view,
the Chamber. So yeah, so that says a Raw person's winning, and it's most more likely. I don't know. It's not gonna be Goldberg or Lesnar, right?
Well, it might be. And, you know, one of the things they could go with is I always liked when they did the other brand split, when they would kind of delay on who they were going to challenge. So if you waited until after the Elimination Chamber to see.
Remember Undertaker going down the line of three, Batista, Cena, and Lashley, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Or Batista, somebody, and Lashley.
Yeah, he was eyeing them all up.
And then he stopped at Batista, like, I'm going after you. Like, okay, like nobody thought he was going to pick Bobby Lashley. Like,
right.
Stop it.
Bobby's like, you don't want this work. You don't want this work. But that would be neat. I mean, I would say if Undertaker... So let's say that. Play that through. If Undertaker did that again, the, you know, Monday and Tuesday after the Elimination Chamber, where it's like he's showing up and it's like, you don't know who he's going to pick. That would be interesting, because now you have a guy who can jump between both shows because he's the Undertaker, and why not? Because he won the Rumble. Or Balor. But to me, it makes no sense. No logical sense for a SmackDown competitor to win it, because you're going to have the Elimination Chamber a month later.
Right. And his third question for Brian. Will Kurt Angle headline the Hall of Fame this year?
I don't think so. Because I don't know if they're bringing him. If they do bring him back, you wouldn't want him to go in the Hall of Fame before he actually wrestled for a while for you.
And by a while, I hope you mean like once or twice.
Yeah. Not like a full schedule, like two or three big matches. And then kind of what they were going to do with
300 dates a year.
It's like, come on, Kurt. It's actually funny, as an aside, real quick, because I don't know what our time is. I was listening this morning to Talk Is Jericho, and he had Teddy Hart on. And that, my God. Working with you this last year has been fun, because you can jump into tangents and I can jump into tangents, but Teddy Hart will start in one sentence and end on another planet. And he got to a story where he was talking about his first couple of months in WWE when he was rooming with Kurt Angle, and Kurt would get up at 6 a.m., run steps, eat, you know, the athlete bag of oatmeal, and then just pour a little water in, and then look at Teddy, and Teddy's still asleep on the bed, and he's like, you're an athlete, right? You work out? And 19-year-old Teddy gets up, smokes some weed, and he's like, yeah, this is my workout. And Kurt's like, get that out of here. I'm trying to get on Wheaties boxes, which is, you could tell this is early in Kurt's career. Sorry, Kurt.
Well,
it was never drugs. It was more the painkillers, not like...
Oh, no. I just meant, like, you know, qualifying his... When Kurt was trying to, you know, back in when he was younger or whatever. I'm like, no, it's...
Yeah. But, you know, you got a 19-year-old kid smoking, just sitting there at 150 pounds while you're doing, like, God knows how many exercises, running stairs, just keeping yourself in optimal condition. It's like, well, how did you get $1 million-a-year contract?
That roomie thing probably didn't last.
No,
that.
It did not. Kurt basically, like, told the office, and he was like, well, you got to get out of here.
We got a question from Mr. Mendoza here. He says, do you think Dean Ambrose ring gear has downgraded him? No.
Nah.
Rich?
No. It seems more in tune with what he was wearing and doing in CZW. His Shield attire was, you know, awesome, because they look like paramilitary dudes, but
right.
I don't... You know, I'm not offended when he comes out in the ring in his black T-shirt and his jeans, because
yeah.
He's essentially a brawler. So why would he show up in wrestling gear?
I just can't imagine him. And yeah, could you imagine him coming out in like a Big Show type singlet, like a Andre the Giant type singlet, like one strap on one shoulder?
And that would be a fun little like mental exercise, like John Cena showing up wearing, not La Luchadora, but like Sin Cara type gear.
Well, you wouldn't know it's John Cena. Are you saying maskless?
No, I'd say with a mask, but how many people were built like that human being?
Yeah, but...
It's like, that's not Sin Cara.
Well, that would be obvious. And you did say type, so I'm just thinking of... Shiny, you know, loud outfit with a mask.
Mm-hmm.
People wouldn't necessarily, and by people, I mean me, because I didn't, you know, I miss things that are right there in front of me, so.
No, yeah, I don't think it degrades him. If anything, to kind of tie into his shield mate, I think the sooner Roman can find a look that doesn't include the bulletproof vest, the better he'll be.
You need to go back to the grass skirt, man. Just
Leaky when he was becoming Roman Reigns with the suit and just being a complete tool, not Leaky Haka Hula Mula.
Go back to Leaky the Hula, you know. Capitalize off this damn rock movie. Get a little girl sidekick or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Moana. Yeah, Moana. I don't want to turn this into the Dwayne Johnson Appreciation Club, but yes, that movie's awesome. If you have kids, go and see it. It's really good. And on a wrestling tip, if you don't have kids, go see it. The interview, if you ever get a chance, go on Instagram and check out The Rock's page, because he does a delightful little minute and a half thing with his cousin Nia Jax, and that kind of ties in what we were saying about Roman. Give him some humanity. Don't let him look like a construct. And that kind of leads to what I was going to ask you. I know there was one thing I wanted to talk about tonight, and that was John Cena's tweet in response to the shenanigans going on between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns on Twitter.
Yeah, Craig,
and
you
your thoughts
that up on Twitter. Don't forget to talk about that. From what I saw the video, the initial video, where he's laughing and Roman's kind of covering his face. Then I saw the tweet from Owens about his merch check.
Oh, no, other way around. It was Reigns said,
tweet.
I was laughing
Owens,
because he told me about his
merch
check.
And then I saw the response, Cena, with the workout tweet and the bullshit Instagram.
Well, before that, Owens had wrote back to him saying, there's no way you came up with that response on your own.
Oh, right. No way you came up with that on your own. And then John Cena decided, that's the part, I mean, that's fine, whatever, you're a little bigger and you're feeling okay. And here comes Cena. You're not even on that show, so it's either a shoot and, like, you're jumping in because you think this is something worth, you know, or you're just being a, you know. Jumping in on somebody's conversation whose show you're not on, whose storyline it's not about, wasn't in the moment, wasn't in that viral video. Nobody was talking about John Cena. Maybe that was the problem. But get out of here. What are you doing?
No, you're adding stuff into this trip. See, here's where I saw it. As a high school coach, and even Wade used the analogy of a quarterback, the way he came out there, if this was a sports team, this was him grabbing a dude by the face mask and saying, let's focus. We got a bigger thing here. Because when I went to Roadblock, end of the line, I went to the merchandise table to pick up my son a gift, and it's a Raw show, but there were 3 to 5 John Cena items there. So when it comes to merch checks, he definitely can pull that big boy card out and be like, listen, let's not talk about this now. You're only going to embarrass
yourself. I didn't say he couldn't. I'm not bad.
He's John Cena. He can talk about it if he wants.
Star. No. The point is jumping in somebody else's conversation /feud /whatever. Like, get out of here. Like, who are you? Not who are you in a sense
he's
of
the
who
dude
are you,
that he's. He's the dude that Roman Reigns is supposed to have been replaced 3 years ago, and he hasn't done it yet.
Okay, so we're talking. So again, so that was my point. Like, so this is either him jumping in on some like for real shoot brother tip, or it's just him being inserting himself into somebody's feud, and or A, both. I mean, or C, both in a way. I mean, yeah, get out of here, Cena.
I think it's something
between two guys. Whose video it was.
Again, to me, I see it like he's the dude who's
no
the alpha
face mask situation. Let's focus. No, focus on yourself.
When it's a company that needs you to be the guy. Nah, he's got to focus on everybody else. Because John Cena's tired of having them do the stuff they're doing, and then he always gets the blame for, well, John Cena's not helping out enough of the young guys. John Cena... We even talked about this on the East Coast cast. John Cena with the U.S. title.
We're blaming the wrong people. We're blaming the wrong people. We're mad at the wrestlers for a culture that they participate in.
Yeah. We are. We got to go 10,000 feet and look at it from that way. And that's it. And just like with how Vince
John
likes
Cena's
Shane.
John Cena's an OE. You know, this is just the what's been cultivated and get out of here.
But he's tired of it.
Comes
sure.
up like, well, that's his problem. Do something about it then.
That's what he's
go
doing.
And tell your boss to step down and to get out. You know that he's completely
okay. You're going to tell your boss, hey, wait, I think you need to step down. You got too many live casts, bro.
If I, well, no, because I'm not in any kind of position that where I'm, you know, the face that runs.
I was
the
about to say, you're about to get a text message, Travis. I have the task.
Right. Louis from Jersey, like I still don't get that.
Watch a month, but listen to a month of East Coast Cast VIP, and you'll be caught up. You'll be good.
Oh boy, or you'll be even more confused and half spoiled.
And Louis, I'm not really asleep. It's my stunt double.
All right, let's. Try to, oh, you know what? Terrell's been on hold for a bit.
I'm surprised Terrell didn't put his hand up.
No, he did. I just was lollygagging and taking him for granted. You know. That's good. And hey, let's talk to Terrell. But he made me mad on Twitter earlier talking that hot garbage. But Terrell, what's happening? What's going on, man?
How you doing, Trav? How you doing, Rick? I hope,
good,
Trav,
man.
You ain't talking about the conversation me and Rich was having. That's you pulling the John Cena, ain't you?
No, wasn't that being you? Huh?
Oh, wow, Darrell. Wow.
Was that today or yesterday when I hit the gentleman thing with the Jack Allen?
Oh, you talking about our conversation. Okay, yeah. That was yesterday.
What?
I like that
no,
picture.
No,
oh,
John Cena.
I was just being funny. Me and Rich had a conversation earlier.
Yeah, Darrell came at me at 9:30 in the morning. He's like, oh, I listen to VIP. You talking about DC Marvel. You must not know anything about comic history. And off I went, 9:30 in the morning. Just put my son to, you know, just got his breakfast ready. Just got ready to get my stuff for the day. And Darrell from Georgia, already at my throat.
Man, I was at work. I didn't think he was going to respond back that soon. I thought he was going to wait till about 1 or 2.
No, I don't work that way, Darrell. Especially when I'm off. I'm off from school until the 3rd of January. My watch kept vibrating. I'm like, what is this? I'm putting boxes away and Christmas bags and setting stuff away to mail to people. And all of a sudden, bzz, bzz. Like, really, Darrell? You're going to call my fandom out? You're going to call my history knowledge?
Yep.
All because I said DC cares more about Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman than Diana Prince, Bruce Wayne, and Clark Kent.
And I don't I don't think there's a lot of dispute in that.
Well, no, Mr. Darrell had a lot of dispute and came at my throat. I was choking, gasping for air. And then afterwards, I called him out on it, he's like, now you hurt my feeling, and now I feel sad because I hurt your feeling. I was like, no, now we're going to get...
That must have been when he decided to, like, oh, okay, well, now I'm going to go annoy and pick on Travis.
But that's what Darrell do. He's a good heel. He gets you, and then as soon as you try to fight back, he's under the ropes telling the ref to get him to back off.
So then he starts. Then he comes over and starts messing with me about Carol Danvers. This who you support? Oh, this who you like? Wait, what happened? What are you giving me no kind of information. He's just slandering me and Carol at the same time. I'm like, I don't, what, the Canadian? The fake-ass Justin Trudeau? Like, that guy? No. Captain America. I was like, oh, I'm reading Sam Wilson, like, fourth, like, as we were talking, I was reading Sam Wilson. You're like, no, Steve Rogers. He sound like one of those Take Back the Shield dudes in the book, Rich. I'm talking about the real Captain America. I'm like, damn, Darrell. I was like, I don't like your tone. I don't like any of this.
Oh, like when Sam Wilson was on the airplane and they're like, that's not my captain.
Not my captain.
He's probably listening
to Slander and Books,
Bad
my
and Bougie right now.
Cap Marvel and
my bad.
Cap. Bro, yeah.
My bad.
First thing in the morning, First thing in the afternoon.
So. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
Darrell been in the
kitchen. But, I got two questions for you guys, and I'm surprised y'all went the whole show without talking about it. The first question would be about how SmackDown just beat Raw in the ratings.
Yeah, because I didn't see.
And I was thinking,
I still haven't seen like in print. So tell me what the numbers were. Because Raw did what?
SmackDown had a 2.04, and SmackDown had like a 1.9 something. They've been talking about it all day. They've been having people put up videos on Instagram, YouTube. All
right, they may
talking
be
about how they beat
though.
How they beat Raw.
All of a sudden,
so
they SmackDown Nitro and it's 60th straight win or something.
Yeah. So my question would be. The first question would be, since SmackDown has beaten Raw, and SmackDown is a show that's always, it seems like, especially since the brand split, it's been growing. And I know y'all was talking about heels and faces earlier. Don't you think this will make Vince have to change? Like, Roman go heel, Seth go back heel, maybe Kevin Owens go face. You know, Jericho gonna be leaving pretty soon. He got a tour coming up in the beginning of next year, and probably they're gonna need a Finn Balor to come in as a hot babyface, especially if SmackDown continues to grow and continues to beat Raw. That's the first question.
No, just concise. Is things gonna change? Is Vince gonna no?
Yes. 71-year-old man's not going to change his path, especially when he thinks every day is your first day on the job. We were talking about that earlier, Darrell, when it came to, like, Roman and Charlotte. There's certain people Vince looks at, and no matter what the light is, they're supposed to be projected to the crowd. He sees them in the way he wants them to be. Like, I think, hand to God, I think in his mind, Charlotte is the best babyface on the Raw roster. Because he treats her like one. And the big
well,
match,
he had her
she guts it out.
Around. So.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And so with Roman, I think they're just going to stay the course. And, you know, him and Strowman will do the WrestleMania 3 type stuff.
Yeah.
I was just thinking they need a big increase because, you know, even though Raw has stabled a little bit, but it's still been more on a decline, and where SmackDown, especially lately, has been on the incline. And that leads to my second question, where I know people say Vince got his hands, you know, he has his hands in everything, but I was thinking, do y'all think that Triple H is, and his crew, all the producers he had, they moved up from NXT, and the head writer that they moved up, all who own SmackDown, I guess, and most of the pictures you see Triple H put out, he be in the back of SmackDown. Do you think him and his crew are running the storylines, even though you got to run it through Vince, but they're kind of running the ship on SmackDown while Vince is still running, him and Dunn is still running the ship on Raw mostly, and while it's kind of stale?
I mean, I think that's the case, but just not to an extent where they're cut off. Like, Vince is still, like, if that's the case, Vince is somehow, like, convinced or positioned to believe that he is still, like, somehow, because I don't understand how you have both shows then. Like, if Vince is so hands-on with SmackDown, how is it such a better show? How is it toned better, paced better, everything?
I think it's,
you
can only divide your energy.
Wrestle better because that's, you know, just say what now?
I think you can only divide your energy so much just as a regular adult or middle-aged adult. But when it comes to being 71 years old, I think he's focused entirely on Raw, but he's in the quote-unquote captain's chair for SmackDown, and he's kind of deferring a little bit. But it's still going, like you and Darrell said, it's going through him, but he's kind of more focused on maybe other things he has to do on the week, and he might have a couple of pet projects like Corbin he focuses his energies on, or protecting them and making sure, hey, here are these guiding principles for these guys.
Yeah.
Well, you know, those are my questions. Those are my questions.
Yeah.
And one last thing I want to leave y'all off with. 2017, do you think that's the year of WWE and especially Triple H starting the super indie shows where you got the UK show, they might put one in Japan, and you got NXT, the super, the Triple A division. But are you thinking that's the year that they're going to set up all the super indie shows like the UK and maybe Japan and maybe one in Mexico?
I think yes, and thanks for the call, as always. I think yes, but you're going to have to drop that super stuff. They're not going to have super shows. They're going to have shows with the UK logo in the UK with the WWE logo and that UK title and UK or WWE influence and writers and production and all that stuff. But there ain't going to be nothing super about it. It'll be interesting. It might be exciting and, you know, that kind of thing. But super? And NXT is going to be NXT. They'll have good takeover shows and great TV leading up to it.
Now, I would say one thing. I think they're going to have, like you said, I agree with you both. I think 2017 is going to be a big year for that sort of expansion, particularly because, as I mentioned before, Kidani from New Japan is kind of putting his chest out and kind of putting the flag down and saying, we're going to challenge WWE in the next 3 to 5 years, starting with them trying to have the opening matches of the G1 Climax in California, which a lot of people, myself included, are very excited about, but financially, the last time New Japan came to America, it didn't work out so well for them. So this is going to be a kind of an experiment for them. On the WWE side, I think they might have super shows, but they would be the NXT takeovers where you would bring over the NXT UK champ or the NXT Japan champ to kind of add flourish to it, as opposed to, you know, every match in Brighton in England, or, you know, you go to the Nippon Budokan, which I don't even think is open anymore, and have this mega show, or go to the Tokyo Dome. I don't think that'll happen for Japan, because I think it's too much money for the potential profit or potential notoriety you might gain.
All right. And let's take one more caller. Let's go down to 337. 337, who's this? Where are you from?
This is Brad out of Louisiana. How you doing, Travin, Rick?
What's happening,
man?
Brad?
Good. Happy New Year.
Same to y'all. I guess the question that I have for you guys today is I was at work earlier today, and a couple of my wrestling friends over there, they're asking me questions about a couple of baby faces and just people in general. And I was in every act that they mentioned, I just still haven't been as hot since Survivor Series. Do y'all think, and I guess my examples would be American Alpha, Bailey, Dean, like, I feel like everybody was pretty much in those elimination matches. They did a lot of damage with that Survivor Series stuff, in my opinion. Do y'all think the same?
Wait, what specifically about the Survivor Series?
Like the characters, they don't come like I feel like the pop for Bailey has softened a great bit. It did not help American Alpha being buddies with the people that try to break their legs in the Usos, and Dean getting upset at a guy in the middle after he got, because he got eliminated first. The way the Survivor Series played out, I feel like it did a lot of damage to a lot of the characters that they had all for one night where everybody could be buddy-buddy. And ever since then, I just feel like the only people who didn't come out damaging that whole thing, it seems, was Randy Orton and Bray, but they didn't come out stronger. They just didn't get weakened.
Rich, you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. I think some of that, especially with the Survivor Series, also stems from that overarching goal of the McMahons are the company and the rest of the wrestlers are the garnish. And what I mean by that is you could have, like, when one of my favorite Survivor Series is when they had the team of Sid, the mixed match team of, like, Sid, Shawn Michaels, British Bulldog, Owen Hart, you know, where they wore faces and heels, but they acted that way in the match. They hated each other, and if they got eliminated, they'd do something to Shawn Michaels if they didn't like him. Having them set up under the auspices of we're going to work together as a team for the glorious Stephanie McMahon or the glorious Shane McMahon definitely cut out the legs of a lot of the characters. But I think going forward after that, Raw suffered more with Bayley and stuff because of the things Travis and I mentioned, the way they positioned her, the way they're having her behave, the lack of just little things you could do to manipulate the crowd to see that she's a bigger deal than she might be as a NXT graduate. And then on SmackDown, American Alpha, like you said, they went up against guys who tried to break their legs and they're buddy-buddy with them, and they were losing a lot. And that doesn't make anyone seem appealing. I mean, I'm a Bills fan. I can tell you, losers don't necessarily make for good press or good copy. So I think all of those things conspired against them. But then look at Baron Corbin going from Survivor Series. Look at even AJ Styles. Some guys had an opportunity, they took it, and it kind of helped them. So I wouldn't blame specifically Survivor Series for it. I think, again, we're letting off the executives above the event, the hook, so to speak.
Yeah, let's go back to Brad. Anything else for us, Brad, before we get out of here for tonight?
The only thing I had was I just wanted to tell you good job on the roundtables you did, man. You're very good at those things. I thought you did a great job on that. It was nice hearing you on that. I think you need to be in the rotation more often, and hopefully that's the case.
Well, hopefully. So,
well, Brad, if you start a hashtag campaign, that'll help get Travis some push with Wade. Like, just send it to @TheWadeKeller, @PWTorch, hashtag bring Travis back.
I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, you need
get
to
out of here. Oh, sorry, Brad, but get out of here. I'm not. Bring me back. That means I had to go. So, all right, we're going to wrap things up. Rich, appreciate it, as always, man.
No problem. A pleasure.
That's Rich from Pittsburgh. You can find him on Twitter at r.deuce, R-D-O-T, deuce. D-U-E-U-C-E. So, say what's up to him and leave me the hell alone. So that's it. So, if you're not done your shopping, check out, and you shop through Amazon, I should say, visit the Amazon/Torch thing. Matter of fact, let's just here.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at PWTorch.com/Amazon? When you go to PWTorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in PWTORCH.com/Amazon. That's PWTorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you. If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.